the Apostle Paul teaches on the important subject of Christian giving. And his main point is before you give one penny, you must stop and consider what God has given to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, you have the forgiveness of sins. In Christ, you have everlasting life. In Christ, you have a perfect and imputed righteousness that will never fade away. And these are just some blessings that believers enjoy as a result of their union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can include many, many, many more. And it is out of thankfulness for what God has done and out of the abundance of what He has given that we must be prompted in our giving. And Paul concludes chapter 9 in 2 Corinthians with these wonderful words, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Now the question is this, are you one to whom this gift is given? There is one way to know. You say, well, I know it because it's in the Bible. And that's true, it is. Or you may say, I know it because I've been taught this in my Christian home or at a Christian school or in a Christian church. And that's a great blessing to enjoy. But that is still not the answer you need to have. You say, I know that this is true because I'm decent and hardworking, and that's the wrong answer to give. If you talk that way, it becomes plain that you do not believe that it was a gift. No, you know this truth as being true for you and that you are given to know yourself as a sinner. That is the work of the Spirit of Christ working in you. And from that position, you can see how gracious God is. Until you see yourself as a sinner, you cannot see the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. And you can say, how unspeakable is the gift of God in giving Christ to cover my sins? Now, there are three times in the New Testament in the Authorized Version where you have this adjective unspeakable. Here we read, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. In the 12th chapter of this book, 2 Corinthians, the Apostle tells us how he was caught up into paradise, into the third heaven. And he says he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. And over in the Epistle of Peter, we read of joy unspeakable and full of glory. The word is the same in each instance in our English translation, but different in every case in the Greek, where each term has a very distinct meaning. But the word for unspeakable in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15 literally means not yet fully expounded. Thanks be to God for His not yet fully expounded gift. That could be translated in that way. And that's very suggestive. It tells me that someday I will understand this gift more fully, though as yet I cannot do so. It tells me that God has wonderful things in reserve for those who believe, which I am going to find out when I get home to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. But as long as I'm down here in the world, it will never be fully expounded to me. I will never fully understand the depth of this unspeakable gift that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15. Now we read, when the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon to question him concerning the name of the Lord, Solomon answered all her questions, and there was nothing in her heart that he did not explain. And when she saw his glory and all his servants and the wealth that was his, she said, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom from prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. She would have to stay on day after day and month after month and year after year to get anything like a real understanding of Solomon's wisdom and glory. And so, as long as you and I are down here, the gift of God will never be fully expounded. It would take all eternity to get to the depth of it. One Christian writer says this, There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. But I may learn more and more of this gift as I go along the way. It is God's wondrous manifestation of Christ to sinners. Therefore, let us look more closely at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. And the title is simply, The Unspeakable Gift. And there are four observations that I would like to make regarding this unspeakable gift. First of all, the Apostle Paul assumes that all Christians will know what that gift is, even though he does not mention it specifically. And it's interesting, as I studied this passage and thought about this, he concludes chapter 9 with the words, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift," period. He doesn't even tell us what this unspeakable gift is, because it's assumed that those who know the Lord know what this unspeakable gift is. Well, what is this unspeakable gift? Well, in the first place, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the gift of God. We read in John 3, verse 16, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus Christ was the gift to the whole world. It was God's gift to man by bringing sinners to reconciliation to a God who, when before they came to know the Lord, were enemies to God, aliens to God. But the gift of God, Jesus Christ, bridged that gap between the sinner and God. He reconciled the two parties by His death on the cross, therefore making the relationship with God now a relationship that is alive and dynamic and full and free because of Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, listen to the words of the Apostle. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Again, we see in John 3 and in 1 John 4 the emphasis on Christ being the gift of God. And the Lord Jesus Himself, He is the gift of God. And let me say this very reverently, He in all His beauty and glory has never been fully expounded in the pulpit. Millions of sermons have been preached about Christ. Hundreds of thousands of hymns have been written to celebrate His blessedness and preciousness, but no one yet has told the story in full. Even the great preachers, Charles Spurgeon and Robert Mary McShane, you can list the best preachers that we read and the best preachers that we listen to, yet they have never fully expounded the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, "No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whosoever the Son will reveal Him." In other words, there's so much more for us to discover about this unsearchable gift, Jesus Christ. In many ways, we've just scratched the surface in our understanding of Christ. Oh, we know some things about Christ, and Christ continues to reveal truth and reveal things to us day by day. But when you look at the big picture, when you look at who Jesus Christ is and the magnitude of this gift, how much do we really know about the Lord Jesus Christ? Not very much. And in that sense, He's the unspeakable gift. Now think about the incarnation. Think about the birth of Christ, the union of God and man in one person. That glorious event, which we will soon celebrate in December, which took place so long ago at Bethlehem. But how little we understand about it. Do we really grasp the significance and understand the depths of the incarnation? That God, the Creator, became a creature. That Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, took upon Himself flesh. Took upon Himself a body. He became a man. It's hard for us to really understand that, to get our minds wrapped around that. Well, the That's part of the unspeakable gift. Christ has given to us so much to think about. And it's going to be all of eternity in heaven thinking about this. And we're so limited on this side of the Jordan. We're so limited on this side of eternity. And the Lord does give us glimpses and insights into who He is and the gift that He is. But we have so much more to discover. And those things won't be discovered and experienced and realized until we go on to be with the Lord in glory in heaven. So Jesus Christ is God's unspeakable gift. But there are other things that we enjoy that are unspeakable. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to us. Our blessed Lord is no longer here on earth, but the Holy Spirit is. Who is there who understands the Spirit of God? Who understands truly the nature of the third person of the Trinity? That He's a person and yet He's called the Spirit of God. He's fully God. Three persons and one God. And yet we call upon the Holy Spirit as we pray and we beseech the Holy Spirit to make us holy and to give us a desire for Christ. How much do we know really about the Holy Spirit? Not much. I have to confess that it's hard for me to explain who the Holy Spirit is. He's God. He's a person. He's the third person of a Holy Trinity that is one God. Three in one, yet one, yet distinct. And for us to get our minds wrapped around that, to get our hearts to really understand that, it's difficult because we're finite and God's infinite. And yet that's the unspeakable gift that we enjoy as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We read in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life then is the gift of God. And we've already quoted John 3:16, but it says that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we are told, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So we see here, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, eternal life, these constitute the gift of God. Now, I want to ask you, how do you explain this one, eternal life? Put it in your own words. Well, eternal life is you never die. You're always living. Okay, that's a good start. But what is eternal life? What is it? What's the essence of it? What's the nature of it? It's hard for us to even fathom. It's hard for us to even take it in. It's hard for us to explain. Because no one's ever died, gone to heaven, and have come back to tell us what it's like to live forever. And yet, we enjoy the unspeakable gift of eternal life tonight if we're believers in Jesus Christ. We have eternal life. Yes, we will die. It is appointed unto man once to die. And that means we will all die apart from the return of the Lord Jesus Christ if He comes back in our lifetime. You know what? The Lord, things are starting to move in this world. Things are starting to take place politically. It seems like the stage is being set for something big to happen soon. And the Lord may be coming back very, very soon. But if the Lord doesn't come back, we're all going to die. It's appointed for us to die. And yet I can say dogmatically, I can say that although we as Christians will die, yes, we still possess the unspeakable gift of eternal life. Our bodies die. They go into the grave, but our souls will continue on and live. Our souls will live forever with the Lord. And when the Lord comes back and judges the world, when He comes and sits on His great white throne to judge both the good and the wicked, our hearts and our spirits will be reunited with our bodies, and we will live with the Lord forevermore. But it's not just a future event, my friends. It's not just a future event, my brothers and sisters. It's we have it now. That's the reality of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Therefore, we know Christ. We believe in Christ. That means we have eternal life. And that will go on for all eternity with our Savior. Listen to what one Christian writer writes about. "Oh, what a gift the Father gave when He bestowed His Son, Jesus Christ, to save poor, ruined, guilty men by sin defiled and undone." So the first point that we observe from this text is that Paul almost assumed that Christians would understand what this unspeakable gift is. What's first and foremost, Christ. But also, flowing from Christ is the Spirit of God and the gift of eternal life. It all comes from and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, let us notice that the apostle calls it a gift, something we could never earn. Can't earn it. It's a gift. So what should be our attitude toward a gift like this and toward the giver? What attitude can we have if we are right-thinking people but to receive the gift and thank the giver? Have you done that? Have you received the gift and thanked the giver? Are you saying, "It is very good of Thee to offer me salvation and in such a cheap way, but then you know I am not absolutely bankrupt. I have a little human merit that I want to bring before the Lord. I want to show you just some of my good works." Well, the moment we start thinking like that, that we have a little to add to this gift, it ceases to be a gift. It becomes something of our works. It becomes something of our hands. And it nullifies. It makes void the gift. And yet Paul, the apostle, makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is the unspeakable gift. Now men and women, boys and girls, may think that, well, that's true. It's a gift. But I'm a really moral kind of person. I like to do good things. And if you will just take my goodness and my morality and my church membership and a few more things, I will be glad to exchange these for your gift. Accept them, Lord. Accept these things that I have to offer. And what does the Lord Jesus say about those things if we rely on them for salvation? They're as filthy rags before a holy God. And we insult God by bringing our works before Him when He's offering the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ for our salvation. I don't know if this irritates you sometimes, but this irritates me, that when I invite people to go out to dinner, I like to take people out to dinner, friends, those who I enjoy company with. If it's my invitation, I'd like to pay for the bill. I like to take care of the tab. And I basically say to my friends, you know, you order whatever you want on that menu. Don't worry about, you know, the price. Don't worry about the bill. I'll take care of it. And then you inevitably, invariably get some people that say, no, I'm not going to let you pay for it. Let me take care of it, or let me pay my way. And you could take it a number of ways, but I've taken it at times to be somewhat insulting when you offer to pay for your friends their food and their meal, and they insist, "No, I want to pay. I want to take care of my own food and my own bill." And you can see that application in the realm of spiritual things. Jesus Christ has said, "Look, I've paid for all of your sins on the cross. I've paid for it all. My blood has washed you afresh. There's nothing that you need to do. It's a gift. It's a mercy. It's a love that I'm giving to you." And yet, if we refuse that, if we insist, "No, I'm not going to accept you pay for my sins. I want to try to cover my sins my own way, by my own works, or by my own deeds. That's an insult to God. And God invites you to come and sit at His table and receive His wonderful gift. And you insult Him when you talk about paying Him. Let me pay for my salvation. Let me earn it. Let me just do something towards it. That's an insult to God. And Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 9 that Jesus is the unspeakable gift. He's paid for it all. We have one example, an instance in the New Testament where the servant of God acting for his master became intensely indignant. Peter came down to Samaria to see a mighty work of God. And as he laid his hands on men, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And there was a wretched fellow who came and offered the apostle money and said, "Give me the power to convey this gift and I will pay you for it." And Peter turned on him and said, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Acts chapter 8, verses 20 and 23. See, this man saw this great working of the Holy Spirit, and he wanted to buy this power. He offered Peter to give him money for this power. What an insult. What an insult to God. When God saves someone, when God transforms someone, it's a gift. It's His work. And He's to be glorified. Man has no part in it. Man receives it. And man rejoices in it. But he can't add to it. He can't take it away. It's the gift of God. It is a wicked thing to offer God anything for His salvation when it is already paid for by the blood of His own precious Son, the Lord Jesus. Do not insult Him by pleading any merit of your own, but come as a poor, bankrupt sinner. Confess you have nothing to offer and be willing to be saved by grace. Receive the gift so freely offered. Remember what we considered this morning. We considered in Matthew chapter 8, the leper. And the leper came. He didn't offer Jesus Christ any money. He didn't offer Jesus Christ any object or any possession. He came and said, "Lord, if it be thy will, make me whole, make me clean." And Jesus made him clean. It was a gift. It was love, it was mercy, it was grace. And that's what the unspeakable gift is getting at. It's God's love and grace to save our souls, to make us His sons and children. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here in the unspeakable gift. And thirdly, Paul says that it is an unspeakable gift. That is, human words cannot describe, cannot explain the wonder of it all. Words do not exist to tell what it is. It bursts the bands of words. No words can translate the great love of the Father. No words can translate the emotions behind the value of this gift. How can you put a price tag on this gift? How can you put a worth on this gift? It cost the Lord Jesus Christ His precious blood to redeem sinners. How can you put a price tag on that? I'm persuaded that through all eternity we will never be able to state the love of God which prompted the gift of Jesus. C.H. Spurgeon writes, "I bid you peer over the brink upon which I would set you. Look down into this abyss of love. Be you sure of this, that this depth is unfathomable. It is idle to attempt a definition of affinity, and therefore vain to hope to declare how wide, how high, how deep, how broad is the wondrous gift of God to the sons of men." Theology can speak on many themes, and she has much to say on this, but her voice fails to speak of the whole. from the pulpit when occupied by a gracious man, the confession freely comes that the heralds of the cross are not able to tell all that is hidden in Jesus Christ. The gift is unspeakable for another reason. No man can ever set forth the manner of this gift. The way and method of the givings are unknown, perhaps unknowable, and therefore unspeakable. Just think a while. Do you understand and could you possibly explain the manner of the Father's giving the only begotten to us? For Jesus Christ is not only the Father's Son, but He is God Himself, one with God. The gift of the Son is virtually God's giving Himself to men. And there could be no separation between God the Son and God the Father, for Christ says, I and my Father are one. Believe me, He says, that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Now, do you understand this? Is it not indescribable for us to have our puny, finite minds wrap themselves around these truths? And yet Paul is trying to grab out of his bag of dictionary, out of his word bag, the fact that even the great Apostle Paul, perhaps the greatest theologian of the New Testament, when it comes to describing the gift of God, it's unspeakable. I'm lost for words. I just cannot find the words to describe this wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. And therefore, what does he say in verse 15? What should be our response? What should be our reply to this unspeakable gift? Thanksgiving. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I like to tell a story of Martin Luther. Martin Luther was known to tell a story of two cardinals who were riding to the Council of Constance. One of them stopped because he saw a shepherd sitting down in the meadow weeping. Dismounting, he tried to comfort him and asked him why he wept. The poor man was slow to answer, but being pressed, he said, "Looking upon this toad, I wept because I have never thanked God as I ought for making me a man, possessed of reason and of excellent form, and not a loathsome toad." The cardinal was amazed as he saw the pity, or saw the piety of the peasant. And as he went away, he exclaimed, "O St. Augustine, how truly did you say, the unlearned rise and take heaven by force, and we, with all our learning, rise not above flesh and blood." Might not some of us faint under a like sense of ingratitude? Did you ever bless God for your creation, for your reason, for your continued life, for all the temporal and spiritual blessings you enjoy? I think sometimes we really have a tendency to our shame to think about the things we don't have, the things that we want, the things that avoid our possession. And we focus more on those things rather than on the blessings that we have presently. And that's definitely something that the devil wants to do to us. He wants us to make us discontent. He wants us to make us annoyed with our life because I don't have this, I don't have that. And yet, we need to stop and be still and thank the Lord for all the things that we do have. All the blessings that we do have, our spouses, our children, our jobs, our houses, health, all these things that we take for granted. And yet, these truly are blessings from the Lord. Now, I've thanked the Lord for being able to get out of bed in the morning at times. You know, the people that can't even get out of bed, they're so sick. They ache so much. They've got so much pain in their joints and in their bodies. And we just roll out of bed and we don't even think about it. And yet, it was like that peasant man who the cardinal saw. And he stopped and thought about how blessed he was that he wasn't like some toad, some loathsome toad. Yet, do we really think in those terms? Do we thank the Lord enough? No, we don't. We need to. We need to discipline ourselves. We need to thank the Lord for these temporal things. But even more so, we are to thank the Lord for the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. How are all these other things that we consider important and are temporal and are good and the blessings, how they pale in insignificance to the unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ? And yet, how often do we thank God for Christ? How often do we thank God for His salvation, for His blood, and for His Spirit? How often do you thank the Lord that I'm not in the hospital, that I'm not in some lunatic asylum, that I'm not in prison, that I'm not in hell? Think about this. Do you thank the Lord today that you're not in hell? You could be in hell this very moment if you weren't a believer in Jesus Christ. Don't think you couldn't. You could. Do we ever glorify God for these things? Do we ever thank the Lord for these things? As for the unspeakable gift of Christ, who among us has ever worthily blessed the Lord on this account? We have to say to our shame, oh, I haven't thanked the Lord enough for the unspeakable gift. I'll have to say to my shame, I complain and murmur more than I thank the Lord. Circumstances change, my feelings change, and I am finding myself looking in the mirror. I'm a big murmurer and a complainer more than one who gives thanksgiving to God for the unspeakable gift. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us. We need to ask the Lord to give us that heart that continues to thank God for that unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ. Again, C.H. Spurgeon writes, "Brethren, if we have Jesus to be our salvation, then when should we not thank God for Him? Why, every morning when we awake. How long should we continue to praise God on this account? Till we go to sleep again. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, His name is to be extolled. Let us praise God till sleep steeps our senses in a sweet forgetfulness. It is even pleasant to go on singing unto the Lord in the visions of our bed, as if the chords of grateful emotion vibrated after the hands of thought had ceased to play on them. It is good when even this wayward fancy of our dreams wanders towards the well-beloved, never rambling outside of holy ground. Let even the fairies of our night dream sing hymns to Jesus, and the cowslip bells of dreamland harbor imaginations of the fair plant of renown. Oh, to get into such a state that we shall be always praising Him, praising and praising and praising and never ceasing." And that should be our response when it comes to this unspeakable gift. Unceasing praise and thanksgiving. Is that your response tonight, my friend? Are you thankful for Christ and for His salvation and for the gospel? The good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners? If you haven't, thank the Lord. Praise His name. Magnify the Lord. Make Him great. Glorify Him in your salvation. Give Him all the glory. In closing, the greatest gift we possess is not our health, our wealth, our family, any temporal blessings, but it's that unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ. He's described as His unspeakable gift in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. And we must receive God's gift by faith. Our response should be that of thanksgiving and praise continually to God for our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. May we praise the Lord this night for His unspeakable gift. Let us pray.